Okay. It gives me great pleasure to introduce a good friend of mine since I've known since I've been sober, Mark B. from Santa Ynez.
Okay, my name is Mark, and I am an alcoholic. According to the Big Book, that means that I could not control my drink. That I would have one, then two, then four, then six, then 10, and then I go get in trouble. I'm just an alcoholic, and I kind of thank my God that that's all I am. Because the Big Book goes on to explain about a real alcoholic. I am not a real alcoholic. That's the person who I have come to know and love more than anything in the world that has been to the very bottom of the abyss. I only fell down and I hit some ledges and I fell down again and hit some more ledges and I could lean over and I could look down and I could see the bottom. I didn't lose my house. I didn't lose my wife. I didn't lose my job. Although I had to sell my house, my wife was really pissed, and I had lost my company. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But I went through the long cycle like a lot of you have already done, 11 years. Wow, congratulations. Marty and I are going to be 8, God willing. But anyway, I'm here to tell you what I did, my experience, my strength, my hope, what brought me to this time in my life. Beginning of every meeting, we read chapter 5, How It Works. And for me, at first, it was kind of one of those things to listen to. And after a while, I kind of shut my eyes and I mouth the words because I remember a couple of the sentences. And then I don't hear it at all. But when I go back and every time I read that, and I stop and I read a sentence at a time, and talk about it, it reminds me where I was. Very quickly in the beginning for me, I did not come to these rooms because of a DUI. I was lucky there, although I've had two, 12 years apart. I came here because my son was very mad at me because I was drunk at the bar again. And he said, Dad, we need a meeting. And you all met my son a month ago. He spoke here. So my son brought me to AA, which proves that it is not hereditary like you've been told. Parents get it from their children. He gets mad when I tell that story. Anyway, for me, I had a very good fortune, which turned out to be a nightmare, which turned out to be a tremendous fortune, of owning a bar. Therefore, I had alcohol available at all time. I would go to work in the morning at one of my companies, work all day, not drink. At 4 o'clock, I was in the bar. Bartender would go, hi Mark, what is it today? A gin. And I'd have a gin and tonic in my hand until I couldn't hold it anymore. Tequila, wine, scotch, whiskey, every day, something new. Each alcohol made me a different person. Gin was a killer. Oh, I got mean and nasty and arrogant. I see some heads nodding. Been there. Finally, one day I had a big fight with one of my daughters-in-law, who we have since parted ways, and it's been wonderful. She's now gone and divorced and off to another life, and God bless her. And I threw a glass and got pissed off and steamed out. He said, come on, Dad, let's go to a meeting. And I went to my first meeting. That was almost 8 years ago. And I walked into that meeting like a deer standing in the middle of the street. I was full of ego, fear, what the hell am I doing here? Anger, that guy did it. Arrogance, don't they know who I am? And on and on and on. To you newcomers, you are in the right place. You may not know it, but you're in the right place. One day you'll look back and say, yeah, I was there that first time, the deer and headlights and scared, angry. But you go through it, you learn, and everything continues. So I learned how to work Alcoholics Anonymous. I immediately got a sponsor who said, shut up and listen, don't talk. Welcome to the meeting. You have nothing to say. You have nothing I want. Don't you know who I am? Yep, sit down, shut up. So I did. I did that for about 6-8 months. And then I started getting involved and started understanding. I started to work the steps. And I started to read the big book thoroughly. And my favorite reading of all is now the one that we read all the time. Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. So if I do these 12 steps, come here to the meeting, that I will be successful? Yes. If you don't, no. And at the end of the meeting, I'm going to read my promises to you. If you don't follow the steps, reverse. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Are you telling me to look at that book and I read, I can't do that? You got to be kidding me. That's what I said. But then I started to understand how simple this program really is. When I came in, I took the big book, and I had my paper and pencil out, was writing the changes that they have to make to that big book because they're wrong. You can't say all men, you have to make it them. And we, and people. Where's women? Section of the wives, now I'm not going to tell my wife about it, take that section out. I'd have to worry about employees, I didn't have any, they all quit. On and on and on it went. Then I was so busy reading the big book, I was trying to go in between the lines and read, what did he really mean? Because I knew Bill had something going on here, and this isn't what he meant. Give themselves to this simple program. Well, I quickly learned how simple this program really is, not how incredibly hard it is to do. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we're like now. Well, I can turn around and I can look back and say, I remember when I walked in, arrogance, anger, alcohol, drinking. I didn't get in trouble with the cops yet. That came later. But everything was going a mess. So what am I going to do? If you decided you want what we have, that being people with 11 years, 5 years, 2 years, one day more than I have, then you are ready and willing to go to any length to get it, whatever it takes, I want to be sober, then you're ready to take certain steps. We beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Got it. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And to me, they were suggested. It's kind of like it's a good suggestion if you're going to go skydiving to wear a parachute. You don't have to, but we suggest that you do. So I was ready for the first step. Steps 1, 2, and 3. Kind of take them together, but I kind of spread them out because I was, of course, mad and arrogant and fear and all these great things. Steps 1, 2, or 3 are simply defined as, I can't, God can, let him. That's all there is to it. The first step for me was the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. What are you talking about? I still got a business. I still got this. Everything's going fine. Yeah, I hate these customers. I can't stand my drink and blah, blah, blah. But that step to really look in the mirror and honestly say, God, I'm a drunk. I'm an alcoholic. Like on TV. That's me. I'm going to be laying on Fifth and Main with my paper bag and my bottle of Ripple. I was powerless over alcohol. I could not have just one or two drinks. I had to have 6, 8, 10, 12. But I always started at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. By 6 o'clock, I was blasted. At 6:30, the taxi took me home. I would take a nap and shower, come back to the bar at 9 o'clock, drink until midnight, go home, take 5 aspirin, go to sleep, get up, start the insanity the next day. 7 days a week. And I never had to pay for a drink. How cool was that? I did get one DUI where I was 0.09. Well, that really pissed me off because that's pretty chicken shit, you know. Get out of here, 0.01 missing. Your machine's off. Probably the greatest thing that deputy ever did was take me home. Say, come and see me tomorrow in the jail. So I went down there and I started to learn about Alcoholics Anonymous and the DUI. And I didn't want that. So step one, admitting I am powerless, I cannot control something, really was upsetting. And each step, of course, we talk on step 12, the principles in all these affairs. Each step has a principle. So I'll kind of mention each principle as we go through it. Step one is honesty, being honest with yourself. So, okay, I got through that, and I finally made it. And I came to step two. Power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Well, I was always believed there was a God. That was not a problem. You walk outside and you look up in the sky. No man made that. That's incredible. You look at the trees and the mountains and this beautiful valley we live in. No man could ever make something that nice. Something did it. Something bigger than me. Now came the problem. I was born to a very, very Catholic mother. You will do this. And from age 2, I was inundated and bombarded with the Catholic Church. I had to know the Mass in Latin. That's how old I am. Latin. So, and I had to serve Mass 5 days a week in Latin. I had to memorize the catechism, not just know the words, but memorize it. So I had to do that. By the time I got to 18, 19 years old, I was so burnt out on church and the priests and the nuns. And as I got older and went out in the big world, the things that I was told that weren't true. If I kiss a girl, that's a venial sin. If you touch her breast, that's a mortal sin and you will burn and go to hell. That's what I was told. I'm 10 years old. You know, you believe this stuff. I had so much fear of God that when I read in the book and they taught me in religion class that unless you're baptized, you will not go to heaven. I had a friend across the street, really my best friend, and they were Christian Science. They weren't baptized. Well, I was 11, and I'm babysitting a little kid that's 2 years old, but I love this little boy. And I said, oh my God, if you die, you're not going to heaven. And I baptized him. So I was really cool. But I saved his life. He's now baptized. He can go to heaven if he dies. But that's what I was taught to believe. Something's wrong there. So I had a real problem with religions, and when my wife and I got married 50 years ago, wow, we were just out of college and 20 years old, and she was 18, and in those days, you got married when you were young. Today, you guys are smart. You wait till you're 30 or 40. But anyway, we did. And first thing we did was walk away from church. I don't ever want to go back there. And for the next 50 years, never went back, except for a funeral. In the big book, or I'm sorry, in the 12x12 on page 30, it has my paragraph in there, written by Bill W., just for me. And it talks about all the different peoples who have religious belief. Atheist, Mormon, Christian, etc., etc. And in there it says, we were plumb disgusted with religion and all its works. The Bible, we said, was full of nonsense, and we could cite it chapter and verse, and we couldn't see the Beatitudes for the bigots. In spots, it was morally and impossibly good. In others, it seemed impossibly bad. The morality of the religionists themselves really got us down. The hypocrisy, bigotry, lies, self-righteousness, how they loved to shout the damaging fact that millions of good men of religion killed and are still killing each other today in the name of their God. That was me. In reality, that was one of my crutches that I used to drink more. Every excuse I found. I soon learned, as I came to believe in a power greater than me, that that was just one of the tools that I had to avoid and move forward on. Step three. Made a decision to turn our will and lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. What? You mean I can have a God of my choice? Yeah. So it's going to be the catering company. Which is okay. It could be this water bottle. That's okay. The thing is, you believe that there's something bigger than you. You mean I'm not God? That's correct. I'm not God. I'm just another person like all of you, and we all have a disease. Step three became my aha moment when I finally realized that I can have a God who I understand, that I can talk to. He's here in my heart. He's not in a book. He's not on a wall. He's not on a cross. He's nowhere except here in my heart. And anywhere I want Him to be, I can go outside and I can say, hey God, how are you? And He is there. So I learned how to have a God who I love, was in my heart, and my battle was taking out all the religious brainwashing, for lack of a better word, and believing in my higher power. Today I have an incredible higher power. I talk to Him all the time. Driving over here, God, I have to stop by Rite Aid, pick up some batteries, and then I'll go to the meeting. He took me to Rite Aid. He made me go around the parking lot 4 times because it's way in the back and on the side. And I finally got here, and I said, please help me have a good meeting today. Help me carry the message to somebody who might need it. So this is not me talking, this is my God. I talk to my God 10, 15, 20 times a day. And I talk to Him as if I'm talking to you right now. Hi God, how are you today? Good, He's fine. Just told me. I'm going down the street, and I'm on the way to the store. I pick up some stuff for my wife. I look at my clock, and it's 11:45. Okay, God, He just told me to go to a meeting at noon. And off to the meeting I go. He talks to me. I ask Him stuff all the time. What is Your will, God, for this? What should I do here? What should I say? And He always answers me. He says, yes, no, I'll let you know later. Okay, I accept that, and away I go. Now, that's my little God world that I live in. And for me, it works. As we say at the end of the program, keep coming back. It works if we work it. So I work it. Step five. Step four, my favorite step that most people go, oh my God, don't want to do this one. Make a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. That's courage. To sit there and look at that mirror and say, you grumpy old son of a gun, look at what you're doing to your life. You're not doing this, you're not doing that. And to make an inventory of what I had done in my whole life. My brain is blocking out most of it. And it took me 10 times to get through this step after 8 years. So I figure after the next 10 years go by, it's going to take me another 10 times to continue to go through this step. Because for me, this step will never end. And I use it every single day. As I went through it, of course, lying to myself, I would hide the truth. I wouldn't tell my sponsor. I'd write it all out. I didn't even write it. I used a computer because I could type 80 words a minute. And I didn't feel like writing. I was lazy. But I finally did it, and I got it out, and I rewrote it, and rewrote it, and rewrote it. Today, when I do a fourth step with somebody, we have columns 1, 2, and 3 that are in the big book, which are terrific. That's a great foundation. I added 3 more columns for the people that I sponsor. Number 4 is, what was my role in this issue? You mean I had something to do with it? She did it. Nah. What was your role? Column 5, what am I going to do about it? Oh, you mean I have to do something about it with her? Yes, you do. And then column 6, love. What that means is columns 1 through 5 are usually angry. You're mad, you're upset. Column 6, write something nice about that person. She was a fabulous mother to my children. All of a sudden, you had that little bright light when you get down farther and you have to start making amends. And step 4 became my foundation for the next 4 steps, because out of that, I would take what I needed. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Nature, what does that mean? Well, you look in the dictionary, it says that in nature, you know, the reason. What was the reason for your wrongs? And you review them, and you talk to your sponsor about it, you talk to God. Well, that was easy. I sat there, and I'm talking to my sponsor, and we're going over all my steps, and took a couple of hours. He said, have you told God yet? Sponsor said, yeah, you just finished talking to him, too. He's here listening. Okay. But I learned how to begin the step of humility, which is very tough. So step 5, the principle is integrity, to do it right. Step 6, ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Willingness. I thought I was ready to have them all removed. God didn't think so, because he did not remove them when I asked him. Which means I did not finish the step yet, and did not complete it the way he wants it done. So I had to go back to step 4 and start over again. Then step 7, humbly we ask him to remove our shortcomings. This is humility. Humble? What are you talking about? Patience? I want to kill something. That was extremely difficult for me to have humility. But the humility that the big book talks about is not the one that I grew up with. Because all through school, all through business, all through sports, you're never taught to be humble. You're taught to go out there and kill something. Be the best. Tough. Don't let your guy get ahead of you. Beat your competition. Pound him in the ground. Go team, go. I don't see any football coach saying, okay, boys, you've been working out great. Go out there now and be humble and shake their hands and love them. Hey, it's not going to happen. Not when Santa Maria plays San Ynez High School. We're going to have a hell of a battle here. But they're taught to get out there and be tough. Humility doesn't enter into it. That's not what they're talking about. It's talking about you being a person who can look out and relate and ask God for forgiveness and truly mean it. So humility is tough. And I had a very hard time doing it. I still have a hard time doing it. I will have it forever. least I know it because this program taught me how to be humble. May the list of all persons we had harmed became willing to make amends to them all. I made a list, and this is brotherly love, and tell somebody I'm sorry and I hate to do it. When I first got into AA, I went and did a step 8 immediately because I read that section in the 12x12 to a man who I had known for many, many years. He was a cop, and he came and he raided my bar at night, and he would bust my bartenders for drinking after 2 o'clock and write a ticket and laugh at me. When I went into one of my businesses in the printing, guess who my partner was in the same building? Him. He now retired. Well, we became friends. And as we went through the whole cycle of business, I began cheating him and not doing the right thing and stealing customers because I still had this grudge. So when I got to this program here, he was the first person I sat down that I walked into and apologized to he and his wife. Spent an hour later, came back, and today we're probably the best friends ever because of step 8 and having the courage to go up to somebody and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, and mean it. It's easy to say I'm sorry, but mean it and really promise not to do it again. Become willing to make amends to them all. I failed. There's a couple people that are on my list that are still on my list. Fortunately, God took them, and 2 of them died. So I said, well, God, I'm willing, but I don't have to go do it now. And my God just sat there and laughed at me. He says, oh, no, now it gets hard. Now you really have to do it. You have to convince me that you're really unhappy. And so I did. And I went through it, and not a person. We just did not get along, and we hated each other, and he fired me, and I yelled at him. And anyway, I made amends to God. So hopefully this man is now resting in heaven. Step 9, made direct amends whenever possible. Discipline. Again, the courage of doing this. And except when I do so would injure them or others. Okay, that's your out. Obviously, a few dudes in here went out one day and had a few drinks and you hassled some girl and you were playing licky face and bumping things in the corner, and you're not going to go back and say, gee, honey, I'm sorry when I got drunk and mentioned I met this girl. And okay, make amends to God. You'll be okay on that one. Because you don't want to injure them or others. This program is not meant for you to hurt yourself or other people. Continue to take personal inventory. When you're wrong, promptly admit it. Perseverance. I love this step too. It gives us alcoholics the right for a daily do-over. Gee, I did something wrong, okay? Go take personal inventory, go when you're wrong, go admit it right away and get it off the table. And I still do that today. And I had issues with the board at my Alano Club, and I got very, very upset and screamed and yelled. And next day I walk in, I call them all together, sat them down, and says, idiot, I'm sorry. I'm sitting there breaking my own rule, and I'm sitting there not paying attention. And I was wrong, and I apologize to all of you. Old Mark could have never done that. But it took me a long time. I finally learned how to go up and say, I'm sorry. I'm just another human creature on this planet that God put here. Sought through prayer and meditation. I always do medication on that. To improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. God awareness. Talk to your God every day, every hour. Saw through prayer and meditation. I always had a problem with prayer. Again, going back to my religious excuse, I had to memorize the catechism, and I just memorized it. Now I would just sit there and spout the prayer. No feeling, no love, no understanding, don't even care. Blah, 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 amen. I'm sitting there thinking, God, that's not prayer. And he goes, you're right. When it comes from your heart and you really mean it, then you're talking to God. You're praying to God. You're talking to him. And I had to learn how to pray and talk to my God from the heart and not from a memorized book. Meditation is even also just as tough. I'm a very right brain person. My mind is continually running and going. And for me to go into a room and sit down with quiet music and candles and talk about God and do all the things you do during meditation, I'm good for maybe 1, maybe 2 minutes. In my mind, it's choo, and I'm off to thinking about the football game or school or work or job or anything but God. So that's okay. Now I've learned that when I'm driving, I am now meditating. I'm talking to God. And for me, that works. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we carry our message to the alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Bottom line to me is, this is a me program. I am the one who must do the steps. I am the one who must talk to my sponsor. I'm the one that has to go to meetings. I'm the one that has to change me. My primary purpose is to stay sober. So I have to do it. None of you are going to make me sober. I have to do it. Which will lead me into my favorite reading of all called Acceptance. When I enter a room like this, the me program is out, I'm now we. I want to carry my message to another alcoholic. Here's what I did. You may like parts of it. You may hate it. You may say, this is cool. I can relate to this. I don't relate to that. That's good. That's the beauty of this program. We all have the identical disease, and the way we fix it is to come in this room and learn from everybody here. Nobody has a magical pill. Nobody has the absolute solution that's going to make it better. We just come here one day at a time and try and do a little bit better. So when I come into this room, I'm here being of service. How can I help you? I'll do anything you want. You need a ride? Let's go. You need money? I've got $4. Here you go. That's it. But how can I help you? Many of us exclaimed, what an order. I can't go through with it. I didn't quite say that, but something very close to it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like adherence to these principles. Honesty, hope, faith, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, brotherly love, discipline, perseverance, higher power awareness, and service. We are not saints, unless you go to Santa Maria High School. The point is that we're willing to grow along spiritual lines. Principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. I will never be perfect in a trillion years. Remember, only step one talks about the disease of alcohol and alcoholism. Steps 2 through 12 all talk about me and what I have to do to become a better person. Sometimes I do it right. Sometimes I mess it up. But I get my do-over. I could go do it again. And that's the beauty of the program. For me, the bottom line in this program is I must accept where I am, what I'm doing, what this program is, how the program will work for me. Page 417 of the Big Book, Dr. Paul wrote a letter to his wife, Max. And this is one of my favorite readings. It's called Acceptance. Simply says, acceptance is the answer to all of my problems. When I am disturbed, it's because I had some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly as the way it's supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. That's a powerful line. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober unless I accept life completely on life's terms. I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as to what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage and the men and women are merely players. Forgot to mention that I was the chief critic. I was always able to see the flaw in every person, every situation, and I was always glad to point that out because I know you wanted perfection just as I did. AA and acceptance have taught me that there is a bit of good in the worst of us and a bit of bad in the best of us, that we are all children of God and we all have a right to be here. When I complain about me or about you, I'm complaining about God's handiwork. I am saying that I know better than God. For years, I was sure the worst thing that could happen to a nice guy like me would be that I would turn out to be an alcoholic. Today, I find it is the best thing that ever happened to me. This proves I don't know what's good for me. And if I don't know what's good for me, then I don't know what's good or bad for you or for anyone. So I'm better off if I don't give advice, don't figure I know what's best, and just accept life on life's terms as it is today, especially my own life as it actually is. Before AA, I judged myself by my intentions, while the world was judging me by my actions. How true. Thank you, Dr. Paul. I'm going to wrap up with the promises. And you've all heard the promises, page 84, 85 of the big book. And they are absolutely true. I'm going to do the 12 promises of Alcoholics Anonymous in reverse. If you want to still drink, if you want to still use, do it. It's your life. But here's the promises from AA. One, we will be drunk before we leave the parking lot. Two, we are going to know a new pain and a new misery. Three, we will regret our deeds and repeat them over and over. Four, we will comprehend the word chaos and will know calamity. Five, no matter how far down the road we stagger, we will still wonder where we are going. Six, that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will intensify. Seven, we will lose interest in things and gain relations with strange fellows. 8. Self-seeking will be constant. 9. Our whole attitude will be on the lookout for the cops. 10. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us homeless. 11. We will intuitively know how to stay drunk with little or no money. And 12. We will suddenly begin to think God does not exist. Do these extravagant promises, are these extravagant promises? Probably. They will be practiced daily, sometimes insanely, sometimes deadly. They will continue to happen if we keep drinking. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, for speaking tonight. Also, thank you to anyone who has a commitment to this meeting. The speaker will be available at the podium for you to meet and thank for sharing. And I would like to, oh, wait a minute. I want to thank this, Dave and Carrie, is that correct, for participating? Yeah. Thank you very much. And one more hand for Mark. Patrick. Close the meeting, please.
Thanks, Marty.